Hi everyone, this is Dr. Cheryl Selman and welcome to What Women Must Know. Thank you for joining me. This is such a wonderful opportunity to have in-depth conversations about topics that really empower us and inspire us. And since this is the month of October, this entire month has been focused on empowering and inspiring guests who can give us more knowledge and more strategies, more understanding how to support us during this month of breast health awareness, as I like to call it. That's what we're focusing on this month, breast health awareness strategies and knowledge. I personally have found that the more we can proactively learn and have an understanding of our bodies, the more we are able to make choices, especially to ensure good health. And if we do find ourselves or our friends dealing with a diagnosis of breast cancer, we are more prepared to deal with the situation. So that's what we're learning here. And particularly today, we're going to be exploring and continuing this journey of getting empowered with truthful information so we can make these truly informed decisions out of an awareness and not out of fear and panic. Part of my Breast Health Awareness Month series includes some wonderful opportunities to continue the learning and healing journey. So be sure to go to my website, What Women Must Know, opt in there if you haven't done that already, because I will be sending out ongoing information throughout the month. And in addition to that, on my Facebook page, What Women Must Know, I have daily posts of relevant information to support our breast health awareness strategies. So getting empowered, getting educated is what I am all about. And there's one more thing I just want to mention to everyone. As a way to support everyone listening throughout the month, I have offered what I call my bosom buddy bonus. And what that means is the opportunity to get two free copies of my book called What Women Must Know to Protect Their Daughters from Breast Cancer. This is a sequel to my first book, Hormone Heresy, What Women Must Know About Their Hormones. And this book is focusing on the strategies that will support us in having optimal health, and particularly in relationship to breast cancer, from even before birth, what we need to be doing and all the way through. So it's supporting us, our children, our grandchildren. It's giving us more knowledge with lots of practical strategies to ensure good health. And this book came out of the awareness of the growing incidence of breast cancer in 20 and 30-year-olds. So I've explored what drives that, the early stages of our life, what's driving that, and things we need to do to really optimize our health and understand our bodies and appreciate our bodies so much more. So here's the deal. My bosom buddy bonus is this. If you order any product, any service, any consultation for the month of October on my store at whatwomenmustknow.com, then I will include two copies of my book, What Women Must Know to Protect Their Daughters from Breast Cancer, one for you and one for your bosom buddy. So this is a great way to share the knowledge and support each of us on our journey to greater health and well-being. So I hope you'll check it out, take advantage of it. I know that you'll get great value from that book. And let's talk about our focus today. Today we're really very fortunate to have a wonderful guest to share with us her journey and the wisdom that she gained along the way from her experience with breast cancer. We're talking about how to heal breast cancer naturally, 7 essential steps to beating breast cancer, with Dr. Véronique Desaunier, better known as Dr. V. So a little bit about Dr. V. She has recovered from her own breast cancer journey, and she chose to heal her breast cancer naturally. And since that time, Dr. V has dedicated her work to supporting and guiding women with keys to preventing and healing breast cancer naturally. She has maintained a successful practice in the wellness field since 1979. Because of her passion for health and wellness, Dr. V undertook extensive studies in various fields of energy medicine, specializing in chiropractic, bioenergetics, meridian stress analysis, homeopathy, and digital thermography. Dr. V brings a unique approach to health and wellness. After 30 years in active practice, she decided to retire, quote unquote, and devote her time sharing her personal, non-toxic healing journey with breast cancer. Her years of experience and research have culminated in the Seven Essentials, a step-by-step coaching program, and she has also created a best-selling book and also a best-selling book on Amazon as well, called Heal Breast Cancer Naturally, Seven Essential Steps to Beating Breast Cancer. She has touched the lives of thousands of women around the world with her work, and it's such a privilege to have her with us today on the show. So hello and welcome, Dr. V.
Thank you so much, Dr. Cheryl. It's wonderful to be here again. I think it's been a couple of years, but it's always nice to be with you.
Well, I think it has been a while, and it's always a pleasure because it's just such an inspiring journey you are on, and it's particularly relevant to our theme this month because, as you well know in your work, and certainly the same for me, what we really want to do is educate all of us, men as well as women, educate all of us in how to stay healthy. What do we need to do? What are the strategies we need to put in place to stay healthy? And if we are dealing with a health challenge, then particularly breast cancer, then we need some guidance, because once a diagnosis occurs, it's a time when women are so overwhelmed with fear, so many choices, so many pressures from all directions, it's often hard to find the path that will support them the best. And as we both know, each woman has their own unique path and journey to healing, and it's unique to us. So we need to listen in and know what our options are as we make those decisions. So let's begin by your journey, because you're doing the work you are doing as a result of your own up-close and personal encounter with breast cancer. Can you share a little bit about your experience on your own personal journey?
Absolutely. I guess my journey with cancer started back in 1983. I'd been in practice for several years, and my passion was to bring wellness to the world. And my father was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer, and he was basically sent home to die, given no hope, and told basically that he would be dead in about eight weeks, and he died in six. So, you know, throughout that whole traumatic experience, I remember thinking, you know, talking to these doctors, you know, surely there's something that you can do. Don't you have anything to offer him, any hope? And they basically said, no, there's nothing. He's going to die, period. So I took it upon myself to start doing some research. You know, 1983, no internet back then. Went to the library, started calling various cancer clinics, natural cancer clinics, and lo and behold, I was discovering that there were things that could be done to help reverse and heal the body. But unfortunately for my father, it was too late. So as I learned these principles, I started applying them in my practice, and I was seeing amazing results with people reversing MS and lupus and all kinds of autoimmune diseases, cancer. And they were simply applying the laws of nature. They were taking responsibility for their health, and they were doing the work, and they were getting better. So fast forward 10 years, my mother's diagnosed with breast cancer, and she decides to do a lumpectomy and radiation, but she didn't want to do chemo, so she flew down to Georgia to see her daughter, Dr. V, and applied the principles that I was teaching at the time, and she never had an issue with cancer again. But my biggest aha moment for me was 2004, where I'm rushing to work, jump in the shower, and I felt a lump in my left breast, and I immediately knew. I had that sickening feeling in my stomach, and I just knew it was not a benign lump that I was feeling. So had it tested in various ways with bioenergetic testing, and I just knew that you know, I had to get on my journey. So from 2004 through 2006, I really cleaned up my diet, although I was, you know, eating very well at the time, but did a lot of juicing and detoxing and cleansing, a lot of soul searching, just a lot of research. Because I was, as I was going through that journey, I was thinking, you know, why would somebody like me develop breast cancer? I had been doing everything right, so I thought. I mean, I ate organic before organic was in style, and I was under chiropractic care. I was taking herbs and vitamins and exercising. I breastfed my children, had home births, all that. But still, I developed cancer. So that led me down the path of research and soul searching, and then I realized that there were specific steps that needed to be followed in order for people to really take hold of their health and never have to fear cancer again or never have to fear any type of dis-ease again. And those basic seven steps turned out to be the seven essential system, which I teach now all over the world.
So I think this is such a great example for so many women. We think we're doing everything right. As far as we know, we are healthy. We're making healthy choices. What did you discover that contributed to developing this cancer?
Well, for me specifically, there were the pieces of the puzzle that were missing. I was very iodine deficient. Although I'd had all my dental work done back in 1995, where I had all the amalgams and things removed, I still had a cavitation on the left-hand side, which was on the left. That's where I had the tumor. Now, for those of you who don't know, a cavitation is basically an infection in the bone where there's been an extraction of a tooth, and it's never, the socket was never cleaned out properly. The ligaments were left in there, and that cavitation causes an infection, and it drips toxicity into your system and suppresses your immune system. I also discovered I was very sensitive to electropollution. You know, EMFs are a serious problem. Cell phones, cordless phones, computers, Wi-Fis, cell towers, all those things. I was just very sensitive to that, and we know through science and through research and organizations such as the Bioinitiative Report.org that EMFs cause DNA damage. And lastly, there was the emotional piece. Excuse me. You know, we're real good. A lot of women are very good at taking care of everybody else, but when it comes to self-nurturing, you know, they put themselves last. And so I had a lot of emotional issues that I had never really dealt with since childhood. And we know that if we keep suppressing our emotions, that leads to toxicity. And our emotional health can directly affect our immune system. That's been proven time and time again. So I really had to learn to heal the emotions, forgive myself, forgive others, and just learn to be happy. Happiness was a choice. And I really discovered some wonderful things through that journey.
Can you go back to the first thing you said you discovered in this list of missing pieces? You discovered that you were also iodine deficient. And can you explain the role of iodine, why that is another important piece that we should all be aware of?
Iodine is extremely important for the health of every cell in our body, but specifically when it comes to the breast tissue, the glandular tissue, such as the breast, the thyroid, the prostate. These glands specifically are higher in iodine and need iodine in order to maintain a healthy cell matrix or a healthy shape of cells. We find that when women have fibrocystic breasts, it's often because they're iodine deficient. They're also estrogen dominant. But if that fibrocystic condition continues, that unhealthy shape of the cell can eventually morph into a neoplastic or a cancer cell. Studies have shown us that women that are taking thyroid medication are twice as likely to develop a breast cancer than those that are not. So there's a real serious thyroid breast cancer connection that a lot of women are not aware of.
Can you repeat that last statement about thyroid. Yeah. That needs to be in neon lights. Can you say it again?
It needs to be. Yes, women that are on thyroid medication are twice as likely to develop breast cancer than those that are not. And that's been proven through studies. Dr. Abrams and Dr. Brownstein, who've studied the effect of iodine for over 20 years now, that's been their correlation. And because women that have sluggish thyroids are typically iodine deficient anyway, and so their breast tissue is also deficient, which makes them more susceptible to developing cancer cells.
So when a woman who is diagnosed with a hypothyroid condition, and there's so much going on now with all these online summits and webinars about the role of the thyroid and thyroid conditions, and it's really a great time to educate, to get more educated about what's going on with our thyroid, because I certainly had my own autoimmune thyroid issue for many years. But So the connection between being on thyroid meds and increased risk of breast cancer, I would assume, is because women are being prescribed thyroid medications but not really healing the reason why their thyroids are underactive.
Correct.
Right. So
they're basically iodine deficient, which is why their thyroid's not working well.
Right. So by taking a thyroid med doesn't make you iodine sufficient. So it's like, so you're not really, you're missing the real root cause issue of why your thyroid is not functioning optimally. And
exactly. And the important thing to know too is don't just guess as to how much iodine you need to take. There's specific tests, and you can find that on my website, breastcancerconqueror.com. There's a simple 24-hour urine test that you can take. The kit is delivered to your home. You take iodine tablets. You collect your urine for 24 hours, send a sample back to the lab, and you'll know exactly how deficient you are in iodine and exactly how much you need to supplement with in order to, fill up those reserves. And let me just add something, too. We're seeing more and more people that are iodine deficient because of the problem with bromides and halides in the environment. So bromides are found in flame retardants. So they're in your mattress, they're in your car, they're in your computer, they're everywhere. Fluorides, chlorides, all those things displace iodine in the body and block the cells from being able to absorb iodine. So we often find that women that are iodine deficient, they're also very high in bromide. So we need to flush that out of the system first, and then they start absorbing the iodine much better.
Many years ago, I interviewed Dr. David Derry, and he is a Canadian doctor who focused all. He was really a major promoter of iodine and the role of iodine for health. Because I remember him saying, and we know that the thyroid is the gland that requires the highest amount, the greatest concentration of iodine. But after the thyroid, the gland that requires the next importance for iodine was breast tissue. So if we are low in iodine, not only does the thyroid become underactive, and that kind of generates a whole series of conditions that predispose us to cancer, amongst other things, but also then our breast tissue is vulnerable. And he said that when he in his practice, he really focused on the role of iodine and optimized iodine levels in his patients, and he said he never had anyone being diagnosed with breast cancer. So I thought that was really interesting.
Excellent, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think we have lots more to talk about, but I just want to say one thing. I think this brings home the fact that when we are diagnosed with something like an underactive thyroid, the easy way is to just go get some Synthroid or Armour or Naturethroid, whichever form of thyroid supplemental hormones you want. But it's a Band-Aid approach for many women. It's not really addressing the underlying conditions that brought this about, and that is really where the work is. We really want to heal the underlying root cause issues because they have so many other ramifications in our body.
Absolutely, and that's part of the education process is helping people to understand that cancer is just the symptom. It's not the cause. You can cut out the tumor, you can poison it, you can radiate it, but if you do not change the things that you've always done, you're going to get the same results. So it's about healing the body and getting to the root cause of what allowed the cancer to develop in the first place.
And I just want to say, last week I interviewed Dr. David Zaba from CRT Labs, and he was talking about a lot of these issues and some of the work and tests that he's developed as well, which are, you know, this is the way to go, to use the tests that you have available, Dr. Zaba's labs, people can check what he's doing, because this will give us the level of knowledge about what's going on in our own bodies, so we can then take the steps to travel down a different path, as I like to say.
Absolutely.
Okay, so you had your encounter with breast cancer, and you chose to address it from a more natural, holistic approach. Did you do anything? Did you do any testing at all? Did you do a biopsy? Did you do mammograms? What was your journey, and what did you learn from that in terms of some of this testing?
Well, I chose not to do anything invasive. That was my personal choice, not that I encouraged that, but for me it was not necessary. I knew it was breast cancer. Another way that I knew and confirmed that it was cancer was with the use of something called black salve. Now, this is not something that I recommend for anybody to do unless you're under the direct supervision of a healthcare professional who has experience with this. But black salve is a paste that you can apply to superficial tumors. And in the salve, there's an herb called bloodroot. And the compound in the bloodroot is called sanguinarene, and it's literally a form of herbal chemotherapy. It kills cancer cells and does not affect your healthy cells at all. Therefore, if you apply it on a superficial tumor, it'll literally destroy the cancer cells that are in that area. If there's no cancer, it will not react. And time and time again, when I've worked with patients, I make sure I test, I tell them to test somewhere else on their body to make sure that they're not reacting, and sure enough, there's no reaction. But when they apply it to the area of concern, there's a definite reaction. So that was one of the tools that I used. It's extremely painful, and it's not, something that I recommend, but it was very effective for me.
You know, this is an amazing plant. I just have to say, the wisdom that's found within nature never ceases to amaze me. And black salve, I know people who've used black salve on some skin cancers, and they were able to eliminate their skin cancers that way, and of course you've used it with your breast cancer, but the fact that it goes in and only seeks out and kills the cancer cells is truly phenomenal.
It's
what do you think about it?
It's a miracle. It really is. And you can take you can take bloodroot orally as well. However, I caution you, you want to make sure that you take the right kind, because it's also an emetic, so it'll cause you to vomit if you don't take it properly. But you can take it internally, and it has the same effect on the cancer cells. As a matter of fact, if you just Google bloodroot or go to PubMed.org and put in bloodroot and cancer, you'll see hundreds and hundreds of studies that have shown how effective this is against cancer.
Well, so do you guide women with that herb?
I did. However, the company that I used for 10 years was shut down by the powers that be, temporarily, hopefully. And so I don't trust any other sources of bloodroot, because I've seen so much junk out there, and so I'm patiently waiting. So that was one of the protocols, the bloodroot and the high doses of proteolytic enzymes is something else that I did, but I also recommend that. But there are other forms of quote-unquote herbal chemotherapy that are very effective as well that I'm also using.
Okay, so I think, we can talk about them in a minute, but I think before we get into some of the proactive tools or some of the more natural approaches, to deal with breast cancer, let's focus a little bit on the myths, because it is a, you know, breast cancer just elicits so much fear in women. The thought of it, the word, it's just terrifying. I will never have breast cancer as a title for my book again, because I just think it repels people. As much as we want to learn about it, there's so much fear about it. I don't know what you found, but I think it's really important that we dispel the fear. So can you help us understand some of those myths that are out there that do keep us in fear?
Absolutely. And this is something that I love to talk about because, as you mentioned, Cheryl, there's so much fear out there and so much misinformation. So the first breast cancer myth that I want to bust is that your hormones cause cancer. If your hormones cause cancer, every 20-year-old on the planet would be a raging cancer, right? Because that's when our hormones are starting to surge. It's your ability to properly metabolize and break down your hormones that may be an issue with cancer. If there's a toxic liver and you're not methylating properly and you're not breaking the estrogens down to the healthy metabolites, then, yes, there may be an aggressive estrogen left circulating in your body. The other factor to look at is all the exposure to the false estrogens or the xenoestrogens that you're exposed to. Pesticides, herbicides, plastics, things that you put on your skin, antiperspirants. Aluminum has been classified as a metalloestrogen. It mimics estrogen in the body. The metal fillings in your teeth are also classified as metalloestrogens. So if we begin to make conscious choices of what we have in our macro and micro environment, there can be such a reduction of the estrogens that we're exposed to. So, and it's learning how to detoxify properly, how to support your liver, and how to support those estrogen pathways with lots of cruciferous vegetables and certain supplements like DIM and I3C that are concentrates of cruciferous vegetables. So that's the first thing, is don't fear your hormones. And, you know, if we take it one step further to the suppressing drugs that, you know, suppress the hormones in your body, those drugs are classified as carcinogens by the World Health Organization and the American Cancer Society, you know, tamoxifen, for example. And, you know, the side effects of taking those suppressing drugs increase the risk of uterine cancer by 4 times. They cause fatty livers. They reduce your sex drive. They cause brain fog. I mean, there's just a list of effects of those hormone-suppressing drugs. So don't be in fear of your hormones. They're actually good.
You know, I have a chapter in Hormone Heresy all about tamoxifen and the dangers of that drug, and it just blew my mind that it's considered a known human carcinogen. And it, at one time, it was never recommended beyond 5 years because they knew after 5 years it would increase the risk of breast cancer. Now they're wanting to extend it to 10 years of use, which just boggles my mind, to be honest. And it is such a toxic, dangerous, you know, drug. I'm just always shocked. You know, it's part of understanding that there are risks when you take these drugs, you know, minimal amount of benefit. I'm not sure what the real benefit is, actually. But the important message is that women do have options that are safe and are effective in preventing recurrence, because tamoxifen is used as a treatment to prevent recurrence of breast cancer after you've gone through whatever treatments you've gone through. Mm-hmm. So can we talk about the BRCA gene a little bit?
Absolutely. That's another big myth that I like to bust. And, you know, we all know Angelina Jolie's story, and I'm not here to judge her, and I really feel sorry for her in many ways. Yes, you know, she saw her mother die a very painful death as a result of cancer and the traditional treatment. So there was a lot of fear related to cancer. And so when she had the public, you know, double mastectomy because she had the BRCA gene, it caused mass hysteria. I mean, I can't tell you how many women called me or emailed me and, you know, were getting the BRCA gene tested and, you know, they were getting ready to have a double mastectomy. And it really caused a lot of mass hysteria. But what people don't realize is that these BRCA genes are actually tumor suppressor genes that are designed to repair DNA damage. But if they are mutated as a result of natural or medical radiation or other toxic issues in the body, then yes, the BRCA gene may be an indication. But notice that less than 2% who have a strong family history of breast cancer actually have a BRCA gene mutation. And what was even more interesting for me when I started really researching this, and you can find these studies in PubMed, National Library of Medicine, that some of the BRCA genes actually reduce the risk of breast cancer. So it's not a death sentence. You know, they've painted this picture that if you have a BRCA gene mutation, it's a death sentence. But again, it goes to making an informed decision. And, you know, we can talk in just a minute about DNA and epigenetics and nutrigenomics.
Well, I always like talking about that, but let me just interject here. I think the important message that you're sharing about the BRCA gene is that, first of all, it's been blown out of proportion. There, I have found research reducing what they consider the risk of cancer if you have the gene, so it's not as certain as some researchers have said. And secondly, if people are under the misconception that you just remove breasts and ovaries and then you're out of the danger zone, it really is this lack of information and knowledge, because if you have compromised tumor suppressor genes, then you can potentially develop cancer in other parts of your body if you're not looking after your health and being proactive.
That's so true, and it goes back to the first myth that we talked about, that your hormones are going to cause the cancer. I mean, you can cut off the breast, cut out the ovaries, but if you don't change your lifestyle and if you continue to expose yourself to toxicity and you eat bad food and you stay stressed out, you can still develop cancer in various areas of the body.
So let's talk a little bit about epigenetics and nutrigenomics.
That's very interesting, and I know you've done a lot of work and a lot of research in that area, and I find it so fascinating myself. But we've been told that, you know, we inherit breast cancer from our mother, our grandmother, our aunts, and that we basically have no control over our genes, that, you know, you have this breast cancer gene and you're destined to have breast cancer. But the new science of epigenetics and nutrigenomics has taught us that our DNA is not our destiny, that we can actually change our gene expression through nutrition, through better lifestyle, even through our thoughts, changing our thoughts energetically, we can change our DNA expression. And so the science is now where we know that there's literal switches on some of the genes that can be turned off or on. So for example, if you're a person that sleeps very poorly and only sleeps, you know, 2 or 3 hours at a time or only gets 4 hours of sleep per night, we know that that can actually turn off the cancer protective genes, because sleep is extremely important for your health. We also know that there are specific supplements and foods that will turn off the inflammatory and cancer promoting genes. Things like broccoli sprouts, the sulforaphane in broccoli sprouts. Curcumin is extremely potent in turning off those inflammatory and cancer-promoting genes. So there's so much information out there, and with the DNA testing that is available, and I know, Cheryl, you do a lot of those, it really gives you a targeted approach as to what you need to support in your body in order to prevent cancer or any disease in the body.
For the rest of your life.
Absolutely.
You know, this is information that guides you for the rest of your life to optimize your health on all levels, really. So that's why you only have to do this test once in a lifetime. But it does give you your Achilles heels, as I like to call it, what you've inherited that just compromises the body's ability to function optimally and therefore becomes a risk. You know, and I particularly see this in the metabolism of estrogens in the liver, which we, you know, briefly touched upon in this conversation. I discussed it last week with Dr. Zava because he has some tests that actually can be run, at, you know, that you do at home with blood spot and urine testing that actually can give you the information of how well your liver is breaking down and clearing the estrogens out, or is the liver, because of the lack of certain enzymes, turning your estrogens into the more dangerous, reactive, and cancer-promoting type of estrogen, which is what you were saying earlier about how the liver and how the liver processes these estrogens really is a key player in what's going on with our health, and particularly in risk factors for breast cancer or hormone-dependent cancers, which happens to be prostate cancer in men. I think we should always say that.
Yeah.
You know.
And breast cancer for men as well. You know, 400 men per year die of breast cancer because they have no clue. They don't go, not that mammograms really make a difference, but, you know, they don't check their breast like women do. So they, men are very susceptible, more and more so.
Okay, well, this is a good place to stop and take a break. We are talking to Dr. V. We're going to be exploring more about the seven essentials to help protect you and help heal you from breast cancer when we come back. So I know you'll want to be listening in for the rest of this really empowering conversation. This is Dr. Cheryl Selman. You are listening to What Women Must Know. Hi, everyone. Welcome back. You are listening to What Women Must Know. This is Dr. Cheryl Selman, and we are talking with chiropractor, energetic healer, homeopath, thermographer, and the author of Heal Breast Cancer Naturally, Seven Essential Steps to Beating Breast Cancer. We're here with Dr. V today, who is an amazing woman who has gone through her own journey with breast cancer, has come out the other side. She chose natural approaches and is now guiding and coaching women around the world. And by the way, Dr. V, congratulations on being the number one best-selling book on Amazon. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you. That was quite a pleasant experience. What should I say? I don't want to say surprise, but it was very nice to see that. The book has been very well received, and my intention for the book was to be able to offer guidance and a step-by-step process for women and to really empower them with some information. There's over 500 references to published studies in the book, which is very important for me because I want women to know that this is based on science. It's not New Age fluff. It's not just, you know, vegetarian, you know, woo-hoo, whatever, but it's very, very concrete science that works.
Well, you deserve it. I know you've worked really hard. You've been very dedicated to this whole area and have made a huge difference in the lives of so many people. So it's well deserved, and I know you've put a lot of work into it. And by the way, Dr. V's website is breastcancerconqueror.com. I recommend you go up there, visit opt-in. She has a weekly blog with great information, recipes, and strategies, which, you know, congratulations on that as well. You've done a really good job with all the quality information you bring out every week. So we are talking about some of the seven essential steps to beating breast cancer. Can we go through them? We probably touched on a few, but let's go through all of those seven essential steps while we have the time today because they are so important to know about.
Okay, very good. We could spend an hour on each of the essentials, so I'm just going to kind of brush over them quite briefly. But essential number one is let food be your medicine. And we know that statement was said by the founder of modern medicine, Hippocrates, you know, thousands of years ago, and he had the insight to know that food is really a prescription for your health. We now know with science that there are specific, you know, compounds and specific nutrients that suppress disease and keep your body healthy. And so the, you know, the crux of the matter when it comes to nutrition is to try to keep your diet about 80% raw, 20% cooked, always towards the alkaline side. You know, there are many different types of diets. There's no cookie cutter. When I work with women, it depends on their metabolic type, the type of cancer, the health of their GI tract, you know, many their blood type, you know, just many factors that go into the nutrition. But the key is to try to eat organically and as clean as possible. Essential number two is to reduce your toxic exposure. Now, we know we live in a toxic world and we can't live in a bubble. However, there are specific things that you can do to reduce that exposure. Just look under the cabinet, under your sink or under your kitchen sink, and look at all the different chemicals that are in your home. The average home has over 1,000 toxic chemicals in them, whether it's the, you know, the sprays that you're spraying, or the, you know, the artificially scented candles that you have plugged into the wall, or the things that you use to clean your carpets, your floors. All those things are very, very toxic. Look at what you're putting on your skin. You know, the average person is exposed to over 140 chemicals every day just from their skincare products, their beauty care products, their toothpaste. If you read in the small print at the back of your toothpaste tube, it says, call Poison Control Center if swallowed. So that tells you how toxic the average toothpaste is. If you have it in your mouth, it's still being absorbed and it's still toxic. So just become aware. There's so many natural things that you can do that are less toxic. You know, even the regular grocery stores now are starting to carry some very good biodegradable, healthy products. Essential number three is to balance your energy, and that has to do with balancing the electrical systems of your body. You're 1 billionth physical matter. The rest of you is all electricity and energy. So you keep that balanced with exercise and proper sleep, balancing your hormones properly, getting under chiropractic care. People under chiropractic care have a 300% more competent immune system than those that are not. That's because of what the nerve system does. Your nerve system commands, controls everything in your body, including your immune system. So there's a lot of things that you can do to balance your energy. Essential number four, we touched on a bit, is about healing the emotional wounds. We know that if we keep suppressing those toxic emotions, it'll surface in a dis-ease. I like what Dr. Lisa Rankin says. She says, you either grow your life or you grow a tumor. You know, it's a matter of really learning how to grow as a human being, as, you know, spiritually, mentally, emotionally, in all aspects. It's not just a physical journey, but it's also an emotional one. Essential number five is to embrace biological dentistry. Again, I touched on it a little bit, but we know that amalgams, the so-called silver fillings you may have in your mouth, are 50% mercury, and mercury is the most toxic element on the planet. And there are many, many studies that have shown us how toxic mercury is as a result of all the dental appliances in people's mouths. Root canals are also very toxic. Root canals are dead entities. It's like having a dead gallbladder or a dead appendix in your body. No matter how aseptic they try to make it, it's still dripping a lot of anaerobic toxins from anaerobic bacteria at the root of that tooth. So there's a direct connection. You know, your teeth are live entities, and they're plugged into your acupuncture meridians. So if you have a hunk of metal in a tooth that's related to the breast meridian, with time, that can slow down that energy and the ability of that organ to heal. So there's a definitely an interesting connection there with your dental health and your breast health. And then essential number six is to repair with therapeutic plants. You know, we talked a little bit about bloodroot. There are so many other types of what I call quote-unquote herbal chemotherapies out there that are very effective, that target cancer cells. and boost your immune system. And I will say that that's a mistake that a lot of women who want to heal naturally, they try to simply, you know, they'll detox and they'll juice and they'll change their eating habits. But you have to get very specific in boosting your immune system and weakening the cancer while you're on a healing journey. So really, you know, encourage your listeners to, you know, to find out more about that avenue. And then lastly brings us to essential number 7, which is very early detection. And this whole month, you know, the breast cancer month, the pink month, as you mentioned, I like to call it BAM, you know, Breast Health Awareness Month. And there's so many things that we can do for early prevention. As a matter of fact, just this morning I blogged about a blood test called OncoBlot, and it can find cancer. It can tell you from one blood test with a cancer the size smaller than a pinhead. It can tell you if you have cancer, and you can it can tell you where you have cancer for less than $1,000. That's what I call true prevention, because by the time you develop a lump or a bump and it's seen on an X-ray, it's been growing for 5 to 10 years. So this type of testing, among others, gives you a chance for very, very early detection. And Dr. Cheryl, if you want to talk about mammograms, we can also go there if you like.
Well, yeah, let's talk about it. We have some time, and I think it's really important to help women understand some of, well, to understand what a mammogram is and compared to thermography and some of the risks involved when you get a mammogram.
Well, a mammogram, basically, as most women know who've had one, is radiation and compression. And studies have shown us that low and repeated doses of radiation to the breast tissue actually increases your risk of breast cancer. Now, whenever I blog or talk about mammograms, I inevitably have women say, well, if it hadn't been for a mammogram, I wouldn't have known I had breast cancer. Mm-hmm. That's true. Mammograms have detected cancers on occasion. However, a 25-year Canadian study recently published in the spring of this year, and they studied women for 25 years, and they found that mammograms did not decrease breast cancer mortality rate at all, and that they were just as effective as a self-breast exam. So,
wow.
There's,
so you're really,
you know,
study is saying is that it, you may find it, but it doesn't ensure that you're going to live any longer. And as you just, you know, repeated in that study, that a breast self-exam, if you really are paying attention, can find it just as well, almost as well, without the risk of radiation, which can contribute to damage, to oxidative stress, DNA damage that can lead to breast cancer or even impair your heart function.
Absolutely. And so there's a technology that's been out for 30 years now, and it's gaining more and more recognition. I'm really happy to see that. I used thermography in my office back in 2005. It's called thermography, digital infrared thermographic imaging. And how thermography works is basically it's a specialized camera that reads the infrared heat coming off your body. There's no compression, there's no touching, it's just a little click of a camera that takes the picture of the heat that's coming off your body. Now, how does that relate to breast cancer? Well, we know that when there are formations of unhealthy cells or tumors that are developing, they're going to create something called angiogenesis, or they're going to create their own blood flow to feed the tumor. So you have more blood flow, you have more heat. And so when you take a thermographic image, then you may see areas of inflammation and red, you know, red spots basically on the breast. Now, the images are read by medical doctors that are certified thermographists, much like a radiologist who specializes in X-rays. These doctors, medical doctors, specialize in thermography. And so you go for your initial scan, and you'll get a report, and then 3 months later you go for a follow-up to see if there's any changes. Because sometimes you may have some red spots that are just your your blueprint, your fingerprint, basically, of your body. Or there may be some inflammatory processes as a result of, you know, estrogen dominance or just inflammation in the body overall. And so there's things that you can do in those few months to reduce the inflammation. So get retested 3 months later. If everything looks good, then you just get checked once a year.
And I think that it's so important that women know there is an option. And we're talking about screening, not using it as a diagnostic test to explore when something has already been shown to be suspicious. So this is a safe, non-invasive screening approach, which should be made available as much as mammograms are being touted right now. But it's safer.
It should be, absolutely. And yes, you know, I want to be clear on that, is that you cannot diagnose cancer with a thermographic image. The only way you can diagnose cancer is with a literal biopsy, a piece of the tissue that labels it cancer. I mean, that's the only surefire way in the medical world.
So let's talk a little bit about the services that you're offering and the counseling work that you do with women in your program. So women know that this service is available and that this is what you are focusing on right now.
When I started sharing my story with breast cancer, and it's 2.5 years, it seems like it's been forever, but only 2.5 years, and I just started sharing my story on Facebook and created a website, and then, you know, one thing led to another, and then people were contacting me and saying, you know, what do I do? You know, how do I do this, and where do I start? And so I just basically, you know, applied the 7 essentials and created a one-on-one coaching program that takes women step-by-step through that whole process. So if you're interested in any type of personal coaching or guidance, you basically enroll in one of the coaching programs. And there's 3 different types of programs. One is Proactive Patty, who is concerned mostly with prevention. Maybe her mother or her sister have breast cancer, and she wants to prevent it. The next one is Surviving Susie. Perhaps you've been through the traditional method, or you've done a number of things, and now breast cancer is behind you, and you never want to go down that road again, so you want to prevent it. You want to prevent any more reoccurrence. And then there's Healing Hannah. Healing Hannah is on the journey, and she may choose to do some traditional treatment, which is perfectly fine because I respect and support women's choices. And there are things that we can do to support her while she's going through that. Or perhaps she just wants to do everything naturally and does not want to go the traditional route. So there's something for everybody in the program. And it's very simple. Once you enroll, you receive a 15-page questionnaire that you fill out, a patient information questionnaire, and then we get on the phone or we Skype. And as of now, I've worked with women in over 16 countries, which blows my mind. You know, from being a hands-on practitioner for 30 years to now do everything virtually, it's amazing. And I feel very blessed and very humbled to be able to work with these women. I've just realized that it doesn't matter where we are on this planet. We're all the same. And, you know, women are mothers, they're best friends, they're part of their communities, they're teachers, and if we can make an impact and make a difference in the life of one person, you know, how big of a ripple effect can that have with other people? So I'm very happy and very, very thankful to be doing what I'm doing.
Well, it's wonderful that you are able to pass on the wisdom and the strategies that you have learned on your journey and out of the research you've done. And I really encourage everyone to go to Dr. V's website, breastcancerconqueror.com. You certainly want to pick up her book, Heal Breast Cancer Naturally, 7 Essential Steps to Beating Breast Cancer. Dr. V, it's such a pleasure to have you on the show, and thank you for the fantastic work you are doing, sharing your wisdom and guidance with us and women all over the world.
Thank you so much, Dr. Cheryl. I appreciate you sharing my message of hope, and I also applaud you for the amazing work that you're doing. I know you're incessant. You just keep going with all these interviews and all these amazing people that you have on your radio show, so I really commend you and applaud you for that.
Well, thank you. Well, we are women on a mission, aren't we?
That's right.
Well, thank you again, Dr. V, and thank you all for listening to this special Breast Health Awareness Month radio series, and further information, which of course you can get through opting into my website, What Women Must Know, or going on to my Facebook page. And I just want to remind you all that I have some more wonderful interviews lined up for this month, and to remember to always honor the wisdom of your feminine self. Bye for now.